All right, like you said, I'm John Corbin. I'm a first year's master's student at Mississippi State under Dr. Angus Catchott and Dr. Jeff Gore. Today I'm going to talk to you about a new approach that we're taking to control tarnished plant bugs in cotton. First, I want to give you a little bit of background on the tarnished plant bug. It's in order Hemiptera, family Myridae. They have piercing and sucking mouth parts, and they go through gradual metamorphosis. They have 5 nymphal instars, and this development takes 11 to 18 days, depending on the temperature. They go through several generations per year, and they overwinter as diapausing adults in ground trash and other protected areas in and around fields. They're an important pest of cotton in the mid-southern United States. They complete 1 to 2 generations on alternate hosts before they move into cotton, and they're exclusively controlled with foliar insecticide applications. Pictured here is just an adult on your left and a nymph tarnished plant bug on your right. They do several different types of damage to cotton. They can feed on it in any stage, but most of the damage is done from first square to early bloom. They delay maturity, and they call deformed cotton plants or rank cotton, and the economic damage is done from first square to early bloom. There's several different thresholds throughout the year. There's several different sampling techniques. During the first 2 weeks of squaring, your threshold with the sweep net is 8 tarnished plant bugs per 100 sweeps, and with the drop cloth, it's 1 tarnished plant bug per 6 row feet. From the third week of squaring through bloom, with the sweep net, it's 15 per 100 sweeps and drop cloth 3 per 6 row feet. We also have square retention. It's a plant-based threshold we do, but treatment is recommended here when less than 80% of first position squares remain on the plant prior to first bloom. This chart here just shows some of our control costs for tarnished plant bug in the Mississippi Delta. As you can see highlighted in red, in 2004, that's when we began to see tarnished plant bug resistance in organophosphates, carbamates, and pyrethroids. As you can see, it's not super consistent, but from 2003 to 2004 and then on to here, we've seen a pretty significant raise in prices for tarnished plant bug, starting there in 2004. So I want to talk to you about my objectives. My first objective is to determine the appropriate threshold for tarnished plant bug on cotton modified to be resistant to ligus. And objective 2 is to determine the value of early season or pre-flowering protection compared to mid to late season or flowering protection. So this experiment was conducted in 2 locations, one in Stoneville, Mississippi on DREC and one in Sidon, Mississippi on the Sidon plantation. We had 4 row plots. The row length was 12.19 meters, row width was 1.02 meters, and seeding rate was 4 seeds per row foot or 160 per row. It was a randomized complete block with a 2x7 factorial arrangement of treatments. Factor A was trait versus non-trait, and see a trait listed here. Factor B was treatment. Entries, there were 2 entries, 1 regulated transgenic event and 1 non-transgenic control. We had 14 treatments, and we ran our stats through Proc Glimmer SAS 9.4. Just listed here are all my treatments. As you can see, we have traded and non-traded pairs. I won't go through all that, but you can see we had that pair unsprayed. We had it sprayed at our current threshold. We had it sprayed at double our current threshold. Sprayed at 4 times our current threshold. We had it sprayed weekly, once a week, and then we also had an early season spray where we sprayed up until bloom and then cut out, and then we had a late season that we sprayed starting from bloom on. So just some of my data collection. Before bloom, we took it weekly. Square retention was taken weekly. We looked at the uppermost 3 nodes from 25 plants. We also used a sweep net before bloom. During the first 3 weeks of squaring, we conducted these sweep net samples twice a week. Through bloom, we moved over to a drop cloth starting in the 4th week of squaring. We took 2 drops per plot weekly. We also did a dirty square threshold. We wanted a plant-based threshold to look at. This also started in the 4th week of squaring through bloom. We looked at 25 squares per plot and looked to determine if there was any tarnished plant bug damage. The dirty square threshold is just 10% dirty squares, and we look at medium-sized squares with exposed buds that have been discolored by plant bug feeding. We also took some other agronomic data like node counts, plant heights, nodes above white flower, and nodes above crack bowl. So to move on to my results, this chart here, x-axis shows my treatments, traded versus non-traded. Y-axis shows the number of plant bugs. As you can see, the dotted line, that's our threshold at 6 per row foot. As you can see, there's a significant difference traded versus non-traded in number of nymphs here in Sidon. The number above the top of the bars is the number of times that each of these plots were sprayed. Looking at Stonebowl, we would not see a significant difference in trait versus non-trait. This just kind of condenses them all together. What I mainly want you to see here is that the non-VT was above the, throughout the year, was above our threshold. This is our damaged squares when we're looking at the dirty square threshold. Once again, you can see that they were, the non-VT stayed above the threshold in Stonebowl, not quite in Sidon. Square retention in Sidon, as you can see, the blue bar here is going to be our traded, red is non-traded. You can see that our traded stayed above our 80% threshold throughout the year. It sat around 90%, and for a good bit of the year, our non-traded was below, and later, early in July, it got above that threshold. About the same thing in Sidon. The traded stayed above the 80% threshold, while the non-traded performed a little worse. Our yield, as you can look here, this is my yield in Sidon. Other than our early season and season-long control, we had a significant difference for traded versus non-traded. We were really pleased to see what our yield came out with there. We weren't really sure what we were going to expect. In Stonebowl, there were a few. It wasn't quite as good, but we still were happy with what we had. You can see that the threshold treatment was, there was no significant difference, but we're still happy with what we had. This condenses what we have. Above the bars here, you can see how many times each of these were sprayed. This is Sidon and Stonebowl combined. So this just condenses our last two slides into one. The cool thing about this trait is that you can really, just looking at the crop, you can really see it working. It's one of the, we took a lot of pictures, and it's really amazing what it can do, you know, side by side. Right here, this was in Stonebowl. You have traded on the left, and you can see the middle right there. And on the right is the non-traded, and it's a big difference. It wasn't the best background here, but you can see it a little better here. I mean, you just see the different load of bowls there. It was pretty impressive. This is a traded unsprayed on the left and non-traded unsprayed on the right. So the only difference is that one of these has a trait in them and one of them does not. Right here is the same. We have treated and sprayed at current threshold on the left and non-traded and sprayed at current threshold on the right. And once again, you can see a big difference between the... right here, I had to beg Angus to let me get some drone pictures, and so I felt like I needed to put these pictures in here, but they really are cool, just being able to see the difference and what these plants will do side by side. Here's another one where you can see it a little bit better. In my conclusion, the BT trait resulted in significantly higher square retention in both locations, fewer plant bug nymphs in Sidon, and a decreased need for insecticide applications in both locations. Most treatments in both locations showed significantly higher yields in traded plots versus non-traded plots. Overall conclusion, this trait is expected to save cotton growers at least 1 to 2 insecticide applications for tarnished plant bugs per growing season. Cotton growers should also expect to retain a higher number of squares, resulting in higher yields. And one really important thing is that this trait's not going to be 100% effective. It's closer to 60 to 70%. So it's going to be vital that our consultants and farmers make timely, educated application decisions in order to maximize the potential of this product. So with that, I'll take any questions.